Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Said, amen. Ushers, go ahead if you would. Well, praise God. I get the privilege here of introducing Pastor Larry and Sally, and I just want to say a couple of things. I know he wouldn't choose it, but I'm going to do it anyway, because it's my church. I mean, it's the Lord's church, but you understand what I'm saying. I get to be under shepherd. So, but Pastor Larry and Sally, I was sharing this with our corporate prayer group. It's intentional who I have speak, and there's a reason. And the reason is because there's faith in them. The reason is because there is the scripture, Paul talks about the true signs of an apostle, and one of them is perseverance. And there's perseverance in them, okay? They started a church in their basement of their house with five people, which it grew to six, right, for 5 years, and then you had to kick one out, something like that, and it was back down to five, close enough, something like that. It was that similar. And today they have four churches that are pastored by full-time pastors, and then two that are being worked on, or Bible studies that are being worked on, and more, I'm sure, to come. And so, you know, it'd be easy to give up after 3 years in your basement with six people, or after 4 years. Man, after one, I know people that have given up after 2 weeks. Their faith was too weak. Anyway, so I got a groan on that one. But with these two, they've been faithful for years. And I've been so thankful for their just their fellowship, their friendship, their leadership, their father and mother to us, the times that we've just stood in your house and listened to one ministry story after another, and the amount that is gleaned. You know, you need people like this in your life. You need people that can speak into you and speak words that sometimes aren't always the easiest, but just, you know, that faith is coming with those words, and that later on, time after time, I've taken something that's been spoken and used it in this church and in what we've done here. And then also, of course, the other blessings that have come, and even the impartations that have come by the laying on of hands. It's been a real, it's an honor, and I'm looking forward to many more years. So with that being said, Pastor Larry, please welcome him with me, if you would, please. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be in Billings, Montana. It's good to actually be able to get here. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, we were scheduled last week, but I'll tell you how bad it was. They even canceled the funeral. because none of the family could get to the funeral. And the roads were so bad, So I didn't know how it was all going to work. I knew I'd make it work. I figured my trip from Webo to Billings was going to be a long time. But then I cowered out, and I called Sean, and I said, is there any way that we could maybe make an adjustment? and they said yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Stand up with me a second. Thank you, Lord. Lift your heart and your hands to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you this morning. We come into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We give honor to the Most High God. We give honor to our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give honor to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for being the true teacher, the teacher of the church. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving mightily this morning and ministering to the hearts of your people. They're your people. They're your people. They're your people. And you're going to minister, Holy Spirit. You're a minister of truth. You'll bring light to the thoughts said, to the scriptures spoken, to the and already from the worship song sang. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to bring Christ so alive to us that we just are more cemented, more grounded, more solidified in Him. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Pastor Sean mentioned the Northern Plains Believers Rally. I have three sessions during that particular rally. And what you're going to hear, you're going to get I'm starting this morning a portion of where I'm going to go during the rally and where God sent me and ministered to me in my private time. If you recall last year, a word that was brought to Breakforth by Pastor Marvin Yoder, he's one of the pastors at Rhema Bible Church. And he brought Psalm 67, verses 5 and 6, saying, "Let the people praise you, O Lord, let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield, shall bring forth her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us." Well, I brought him back again because I have a pattern also, like what Pastor Sean mentioned. I bring people in that like Marvin. I mean, I brought him in years ago, like in 2000 somewhere there, which is wonderful. But then I didn't get him back until I think this year was his third year. But I've been bringing him back, and I've got him on a regular schedule, and I do it for this reason. One, I want someone that one has a relationship with the people that's in my church. And so he doesn't know everybody because we have new people at all times. But he knows the core. He knows the foundation people that I work with. And then he moves mightily. He tremendously in the move of the Spirit. And then we have a leadership session on Sunday night where just the leaders come. And it's amazing how he has brought, by the Spirit, words that I'm not saying that, well, like Sean or Mike could do it because they know our people. But I'm talking about taking somebody cold. I don't want to cut the arm of the Lord too short. But it's going to be difficult for someone who is totally cold and has no relationship with us in our church to flow as well as I got somebody that has been with us for year after year after year. And because they might not know the names of everybody, but they know. I know that. I saw that person last time. Can't recall the name at all, but I know them. But it's just amazing how God will all of a sudden move through them and move through him and bring light and help and words of encouragement in down times or even if it's in good times. So that I do that. And so Marvin Yoder came back again this year. And so he brought forth a wonderful message, and I've listened to this message probably three or four times since, and what I thought I heard, I didn't hear. So it had to have been the Holy Ghost talking to me. But it's not that he did make a reference to it, but it was more like he was ministering to Mike. You know, he was ministering to somebody or to a group, but he wasn't like he was ministering to the church like I thought he was doing. And so, because I thought, man, I wonder if I was in that service, you know, when I went back and listened back to it. But I then was walking and praying and just spending I have kind of a ritual of 20 minutes a day just walking around the sanctuary praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's something I do. And so anyways, I did this particular day, and I'm thinking about the rally. And I have, I can almost assume that Sean, you know, he's got a session, and I'm sure he's had 110 sermons come into his mind that he thought, well, I'll go this way. And then next thing he's thinking, well, I'll go this way, you know. Well, then when I get in front of you, I'll tell you where I'm going, you know. And so, but anyway, that's how my mind runs, and I go, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, where Holy Ghost, where do you want me to go? And I've started sermons, you know, and anyway. I walk in and pray, and I said, Holy Ghost, I need some help here, you know. And as I'm walking, all of a sudden, it's just like, you know how the terms we use now, which were totally foreign a few years ago, but we call downloads. And all of a sudden, like, he just downloaded inside of me, and he said, worship. So the year, for the word for 2020 for our area is worship. I believe that's a universal word, to be honest with you. Now, it's a similar word to what was brought from forth last year, which was praise. You know, they're near kinsmen. Worship is of the heart. Praise is of the mouth. If you worship, praise will be automatic. But usually your praise should come from a heart of worship. And so God is establishing our heart this year. You know, I'll read it to you. Because I marked it because I, in Romans 2, he says in verse 28, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Worship is a circumcision of the heart. It's a covenant. Worship is a covenant. Worship is something that, you know, we focus a lot on praise, and rightly so. But I tell you, that praise should be coming from that circumcised heart. That heart that is bare to God. Bare to the Spirit of the living God. And then out of my circumcised open heart comes words of affirmation, words of honor, words of praise. You know, Hebrews 13:15 says, it's a good passage, I can't think of it right now. The sacrifice of praise is what is the fruit of my lips. I can't think of the first part of it. Thank you. You're the great man. Therefore, let us say continually, let the Lord, okay, that was Psalm 35:27, I'm going to quote to you. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise of God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So, open your Bibles to John chapter 4. I'm going to read another thought pattern here. I don't know, how many of you in your times past have heard of Terry Law? Anybody in here know Terry? Okay, several people. Okay. Terry Law basically came into being as far as a minister back in the 80s. And he's got quite a testimony. And he's got a book. The name of the book is Praise and Worship or something like this. And I've had this book in my library for years. And I guess I've read some of it because I got some marks in it, but I don't remember much about it. Because I'm not, you know, for God to tell me to praise and worship, that is not my key. That's not where I gravitate to naturally. Now, I'm a very affirmable, praise God with my words as far as testimony. I've got tons of them. But for me to sing, I struggle with, and even by myself, because I can't come up with the tune, and the melodies, whatever you call it, and then I don't know any of the words because I ain't listening to them anyway. So it just is a frustrating thing for me. And so for him to tell me to worship, and that is the word for is worship. Do you know that I have now in my prayer time I started doing that. Do you know how it sounds like your fingernails coming down a chalkboard? I'm telling you, it drives me nuts. And I'm by myself. And so, but I am forcing it's a sacrifice. I'm forcing myself to do this. It's the fruit of my lips. I'm forcing Larry Phelan to worship God with praise with a sick melody, a sick tune, or whatever you call it. But I'm sounding good, Sally. I'm sounding good. I keep after it. I just keep after it. So now, over here, and so this Terry Law, in this book, he's got a tremendous testimony. He'd lost his wife, and he started a worship. His ministry was called Living Sound, as I recall. Is that right? Okay, Living Sound, and it went from him to just spread around the world. Almost, I won't say it overnight, but it was fast. I mean, and it was during one of those times when he was at a more board meeting overseas, when he gets a phone call that his wife has been killed in a car accident. And so he went through personal condemnation because, you know, because he was always on the go. He was always on the road. And so now his wife is gone. His wife has been killed. And so he begins the process of just walking with God. And I don't get me wrong, he's been walking, but I mean, now he's more focused because he needs help and he needs healing. And so this is a verbatim quote from his book that I'm going to read to you. I wrote down Terry Law. This came right out of his book. Terry Law, a minister's son from Canada, began a ministry called Living Sound. I guess if I would have read my own notes, I would have had that really figured out. That became a worldwide ministry. During one of his overseas trips with his wife was killed in a car accident. He was brokenhearted. Now, Oral Roberts called Terry into his office and prophesied to him. Terry, I'm going to tell you something that could save your life if you do what I say. Go home, get down on your knees, and start to pray in the Spirit. You have got to begin to praise the Lord. You have to, Terry, you have to. Now, it's on paper, but that's how I read it. I mean, emphatic. You have to. Now, think about this. Look what God just told a man who's leading a ministry called Living Sound that specialized all over the world into the communist countries with song and ministry. He's telling him to get down on his knees and praise and worship. You would not think that a God would have to get a renowned man of God like Oral Roberts to tell Rick Lovell, come on, buddy, get with it. I mean, he's already a singer. He's already a praiser. He's already a worshiper. You would automatically assume, right? But that's not so, folks. You can be a pastor and be a backslider. Go ask my wife. I watched her do it. Now, I would never do that. But I know somebody. Don't worry. I do this the same thing in church in Dickinson. Does she like it? No. But she knows I think about her. So anyway, moving right along. You think about this, that God would say, I'm going to tell you something, Terry, that's going to could possibly save your life. Go home, get down on your knees, and start to pray in the Spirit. Folks, Oh, my people. Oh, my people. I have brought to you the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. I have given to you a language from Him. I'm asking you, my people, do not neglect that gifting. Do not neglect that tool. Do not neglect that aspect of the third person of the Godhead. Do not neglect your prayer in the Spirit. For it is your life. It is your life. Yes, I, the Lord, am your life. And my blood flows through your veins. But I want you to walk in life. I want you to walk in life. And if you walk in life, you come out of your life, out, you walk into that life through your prayer in the Spirit. So do not neglect. Do not neglect that time with me. Hallelujah. God is good. So anyway, where am I at? Okay. So it was through praise and worship that Terry found healing and deliverance through all areas of his life, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and psychologically. He obeyed his, I don't know what Oral Roberts was to him. I think he probably was classified his pastor. I'm not exactly sure at that time. I don't know. I don't know that well. But anyway, and I'm sure Terry hasn't told me yet, or otherwise I would have wrote it down probably. But anyway, in John chapter 4, verse 23, this is Jesus talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, we know that the lady must not have had a savory lifestyle because she did not go to the well except in the middle of the afternoon, and that was a time when no women would be there. But so she is not... Her history is not good, because it's when Jesus pinpoints her, he goes, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. Thank God she didn't pick a time to lie. You know, she said, I have no husband. He said, you have well said, for you have had five husbands, and the man you're presently with is not your husband. I thought about this. What if you evangelistically spoke? Do you know what that word is? That's a liar. If you're evangelistically speaking, you're lying. Don't cover it over. Quit it. We've all had to quit it. You know how many people's in my church? 250. I lied. But it's evangelistically speaking. No, I lied. Knock it off. Okay. God is good. So this is who he's talking to. And so he tells her, she goes, in verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. I added to there, not only do I know what I worship, but I know who I worship. And so he goes on to say, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is. It's for the future, and it's for right now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Folks, the word seeking means craving. The Father is craving worshipers to worship him. Now, we all understand craving. Some of us have turned our cravings into lusts. But when you crave something, you will overdose on that. When you have a true craving. Do you know that if you followed your cravings naturally, you'd have a balanced diet? And if you followed your cravings spiritually, you'd have a balanced diet. Amen. We do neither. Give me another chip. But I'm telling you, your cravings are manifested by God. We just have got to learn to follow them. So he's craving. He's craving for, as he says, for the Father is craving such to worship him. He's craving it. He's seeking it. So when he has that, when the Father has that craving desire come up in him, he manifests that to the body. He's the head, we're the body. So when the Father craves it, then the body begins to crave it. we begin to crave to worship. We begin to crave to praise. Because he's one, right? Now, he might look like a giraffe because he's in heaven and we're down here. But I'm telling you, we're connected. We are the body. And so when the Father craves, then I crave. And so he's craving. He's been craving this. He said from this day that he said this, he said for now and for forever. He's been craving this. But I understand the seasons. I understand for seasons how seasons work in the with us down here with him and working with him and doing whatever he's asking us to do. I understand that side. But once the craving comes into us and he gets us established in something, we're not to admit it. When all of a sudden he puts another craving in me for to become aggressive on soul winning and stuff like that again, he puts that craving into me to, you know, which we all should have that, right? The desire for souls. So, but there's more again. There's seasons when you do heavy over here, and then you'll be that you're not supposed to quit it because you all of a sudden he puts another craving in. You just add to it. So when this craving that he's putting in us for 2020 is to worship him, to make ourselves bare before him. And out of that bareness comes our praise, comes our appreciation, our thankful, grateful heart. But when that will not be the constant crave for the next 229 years, there will be another craving, but don't quit the craving. Don't quit the diet that he put you on. Keep it in check. Keep it in the diet and in the plan. So now, God is spirit. Verse 24. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, let me tell you what I had done for years on these two verses. I said, let us worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you know that's not accurate? See, I thought, you know, because I just went to New King James. I've always been a King James man. Because I got all my verses memorized from King James almost. Unless I draw a blank like I did about 5 minutes ago. So I got all these things. So the New King James, it adds words that I'm not used to. Supposedly better words than what I'm supposed to know. So when I'm reading this out of the New King James, that's one of the reasons why I have not been reading the New King James, because I have been quoting this for years, in spirit and in truth. I'm going back to the King James. So I did. Guess what it says? In spirit and truth. Just exactly what it said in the New King James. And this has only happened to me like 2 weeks ago. I went, I'll tell you what, I have duped myself so many times. It just ticks me off. Because I had read that as in spirit and in truth. Two things. Knock it off. No, he said, you worship me in spirit and truth. That's one thing. You worship him in spirit, you're going to be automatically in truth. It's the truth. Yeah. In spirit is truth. Yeah. So he's looking for people to worship him in spirit and truth. Because if you're in spirit, you're automatically in truth. I don't know. That just happened to bless me for a second there. Glory to God. So anyway, God is spirit. Why in the world, this verse, God is spirit. Take a look at that word is. Is it the regular typeface or is it italicized? In your Bible, what is it? I'm talking about the good Bibles, King James and New King James. So what do you got? It's italicized, right? So what does that mean? It was added by the translators. So it would have been said, this is what would have been in the original text, God's spirit. But they tried to clarify us because we would not figure out that they're meaning that he is a spirit. He is spirit, folks. Yeah. Why would he want you to worship in spirit? He is that. Yeah. Glory to God. He is spirit. He is spirit. He wants you to talk his language. Yeah. He wants you to minister to him in his way. Yeah. He craves that, folks. He craves that. He longs for that. That's why he's putting us on a diet of worship. 2020 is a diet of worship. I hope you overdose on it. I hope if it's difficult for you as it is for me, that you will press through. That you will press through. Don't start in front of me. Because I can't handle you either. I won't start in front of you either. Now, I'm going to do a little bit this morning for you. So brace yourself. Get some plugs or whatever. Because we're going to do a little bit of it. We're going to break the ice. We're going to break the ice. Get us started. So God is spirit. So anyway, let me take you now to Psalm. No, I'm not going to go there yet. I'm going to take you, I got my notes on two different places here. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to show you why praise is of extreme importance, praise and worship. Because remember, if you go by definition, the actual definition for worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. I believe that's out of the concordance, but out of the Webster's dictionary, the definition is to honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. Now, the definition for praise is to make a show, to boast, to clamor, to express. In the book of Psalms, praise is used 160 times, if I did not miscount. 160 times. Do you know how many times worship is used in this book, same book? Only 15. 15 times is praise mentioned, or worship mentioned, in the book of Psalms. But over 160 times, I think it's 161 is what I think it is. But I wrote down 160 in case I miscounted. Because I didn't ace all my math tests as a kid. But around 160 times is praise. So what does that tell me? Now, I tell you, I don't know if those of you who don't come to leadership, I got to come to my first leadership this morning here with Mike sharing. Let me tell you what. You are missing half your life if you do not come to leadership in this church. I don't know, maybe he just did that for me today, but if he did, I am grateful. I'm grateful for what he did today because he brought out the marriage feast, the wedding of Cana, the first miracle. He brought that out, the spiritual side, instead of just as a story. I have got me some sermons. This is Larry Phelan. I don't always walk in the office that I'm called to. So I don't always have spiritual thoughts. there's so much ton of stuff out there that thank you. I just got to say thank you one more time. Thank you for that message this morning. Don't lose out. He's right here in your presence. Don't lose out, folks. It's a leadership class. You qualify. If you come at 9 a.m, you're a leader. Okay, moving on. So, where was I at? Corinthians. So anyway, my wife has a phrase, and she quotes it out of again. I got to go back over to my other notes. Out of Proverbs. I got it. I don't have it down. It don't matter. Oh, here it is. I do have it right over here. Proverbs 27:2, which says this: "Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. And I wrote in my notes, or as Sally says, self-praise stinks. How do I know she says that? I think you caught it. So anyway, and it's a quote. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, I'll start in verse 2. You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and ready by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Folks, worship. Praise and worship will change your sufficiency. Because you will not be into self-praise. That praise and worship puts a whole different light and a whole different focus in your soul. And it's towards God. If you are sufficient of yourself, you have never been, nor will you be for a season, unless you make a change, a true worshiper of God. You're a worshiper of yourself. Because I don't need God. Now, let me tell you what. The Word of Faith camp really got messed up on this. We learned and were taught principles of faith that have been life-giving to me and life-saving to me personally. But with the principles memorized, you all of a sudden, I've got principles. I don't need God. I've got three steps and an amen. You know what praise will do to you and worship will do to you? Your sufficiency is not of your principles. Your sufficiency is not of your memorization of that scriptures. Your sufficiency is not of the scriptures you have memorized and know so well. Your sufficiency is of Him and Him only. Amen. Because all of a sudden, what you're going to see as you begin to praise and worship Him, life comes. Yeah. Life comes into the very scripture that you've got memorized. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's not something you know, it's now life. But guess how long it's life for? For that incident you're facing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But many of us are so used to the principles, and our sufficiency is of the principles, and I'm not trying to put them down. You need to know them. But they're not your life. They'll kill you. Many of us have went to the grave early because of principles, and that we worked them perfectly. But there was no life. No life. Worship Him. I'm craving for spirit truth. You get to worship me in the spirit, you'll see truth. Because I'll bring light to the truth. Woo-hoo. Glory to God. I boxed a little bit. I got hit a lot, okay? But I put the gloves on. But do you know the difference between an arm puncher? You got people that can fight and box. They have life in those punches. Then you got the ones that are just, it's a thud. Does it hurt? Of course it does. They hit you. But I'm going to tell you what hurts you is life. And they might not be big, small. It can be all levels. But if they got life in that punch, it'll have more effect than the thud punchers. We have become thud punchers in Christ. We do not have life in our punches. We have forsaken the worship. We have forsaken the life-giving side of God. And I'm not trying to get you away from this, because he brings life to this. Amen. So you've got to know this. You've got to hear leadership principles. How can you apply them if you don't even know them? How can you apply the principles of faith? How can you apply the principles of confession? How can you apply the principles of worship? How can you do it if you don't even know them? So you do need the basics. You need that base. But we need the Spirit to bring life. Yes. Amen. Keep me on the cutting edge. Yes.
Amen.
Keep me where I'm alive. Yes. And my words are life. They're not just rote. Yes. That's my prayer, personal prayer. So now, our sufficiency, and the only way that we will get our sufficiency will stop being of ourselves, and our sufficiency will be of God, is through praise and worship. Okay, now, let me take you to Psalm 34. Oh, hallelujah. What time is it? I mean, I don't know where I'm at with time. I hope you're not done by 12 because I'm in trouble.
Just keep going.
Okay. Yeah. If I'm keeping you, I'm private. Go ahead and leave. No. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Really? Did you just lie to me? Do you need to make a judgment call upon yourself? I did. I knew that verse. I could almost quote that verse. But I did very little of that verse. Let me show you something. You heard me mention it a little bit earlier. Turn with me. I'm going to be back here. But turn with me to 1 Samuel. I got to find it. Chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I tell you, it's amazing what's in the scriptures that you and I have looked over and read it and never saw it. Now, this is the account when David, after he had killed Goliath, and so now he is going to Gath. I believe he's headed for Gath. And he has just killed the leader of Gath. He's just killed Goliath. So, it says that my subtitle Bible says he flees to Gath. Verse 10, 21:10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances and saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s?'" Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Okay, stop one second there. I have mentioned that I believe that the word for 2020 is worship. It deals with praise and worship. And you would be sitting there like myself saying, "I don't do that. I don't praise and worship because I can't." Well, what if Achish showed up on the scene? Achish, the king of Gath, put fear in David. I would hope that the fear of God would come upon you like the fear of a Kish came upon David and caused David to do something. It resulted in David doing something. Look what it says he did. See, in verse 12, David took these words to heart and was very much afraid. So he changed his behavior. He pretended, in this case, madness, like he was insane. And it saved his life. Now, the world might think you're insane when you become a praiser of God. But it might be the thing that saves your life.
Amen.
Don't you let the world be your judge on whether you are right or wrong with God.
Amen.
When it comes to praise and worship. The world is nuts. I know. I spent 29 years in the world. 28, 1 year of that, I got saved when I was 28 years of old of age, but I took over a bar. So that really exhibited the love of Christ. I took over a bar and bartended for 6 months till I almost lost my family over that. That's the only one. I changed my behavior when my wife said she was going to divorce me. Oh, God, I don't even know another one online. If I want to keep my wife and three kids, Larry better change his behavior. Guess what Larry did? What was impossible to Larry was not impossible to God. And just with a little bit of decision-making process, because I could have made decisions before, but I didn't want to. But when all of a sudden the loss of my family came into play, wow. I'll drill a little of my beard or whatever. I'll do anything because I didn't want to lose my wife. I didn't want to lose my kids. I changed my behavior. Who had just a few days before that. I don't need to. I don't want to. I can't. But when all of a sudden Sally put fear in me, wow. Here's your knight in shining armor. It's amazing how it works. Fear. People say, well, I never fear. You're nuts. Natural fear and godly fear should be kept in you to keep you on track. Well, I don't fear anything. You're lying. If you don't fear anything, and you go, and I'll send you up on some tower that you might not be able to handle. I'm scared of heights. It's amazing. You go up on a tower just only 50 feet high. I've been there. And these thoughts go through your mind. Jump. What do you mean jump? But I mean these thoughts will go through your mind. A fear. Sally, can you help me? I didn't take you up there. I'm telling you. See, fear keeps me off of 50-foot towers. So anyway, change your behavior. Change your behavior. David did, saved his life. Larry's doing that, saving his life. Saving my life. So now he said over here in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. Do you know from Psalm 144 to the end, but I think it's Psalm 1. I might be wrong on the number of the Psalm. Yeah, Psalm 145. To 149. Every one of those psalms start with praise. Psalm 145, I will extol. If you've got a reference Bible, the word is praise. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do you know praise is of the soul? That's something I choose to do. Worship's of the heart. Look at Psalm 148. Verse 1. I'll just read it. You don't have to look. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him. Praise all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens. Verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's 8 times in the beginning of that psalm he says, praise him. Praise him for everything. Now we all went through the teachings of where that we praise for our grandma dying. We praise for our dad tipping over. You know, that. See, you can praise people, praise God in those situations. You just don't praise him for. All things that belong to Christ, I praise for. Or in, or however you want to put the word. I've been fortunate. I've only had one brother die prematurely. I did not praise God for his death. I praise God that he made heaven, though. Because his life did not exhibit heaven. And I'll tell you, I'll tell you how the devil will beat you up over this. When he died, I'm telling you, and my wife is the one who led him to the Lord. I don't know which one of us it was Pastor Al Watt that got him filled with the Holy Ghost when he broke his neck. I didn't know he was filled with the Holy Ghost until he asked me to do a marriage counseling. And so the first time I got there, he was so drunk he couldn't hit his rear end with either hand. And so I said, we'll eat supper, and I left. I didn't say a word about God because he was ready for this. He was ready to fight me. Well, he was so drunk he wouldn't have done well at that. But the point is, I still don't want to knots on my head. So I leave. And I said, I'll be back next week. And I showed up at the ranch next week. He was sober. So we sat there and talked with him and his wife, and woman he's living with for several years at that point. So we talk. And I said, Dan, we're going to take time to pray. And so we grab hands, and I start praying the Holy Ghost. Sally starts praying the Holy Ghost. And he's doing something. I said, I'm thinking, I think he's speaking in tongues. Well, I mean, there's no way he's doing that. So I said, what are you saying? He said, I'm just doing what you're doing. I'm praying the Holy Ghost. I said, you speak in tongues? Yeah. I said, when did you get filled? He said, when Al came and prayed for me in the hospital the second time. I go, my God. You kept that. You did a good job hiding that. But I did not find years later that he did that, that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. When he started praying with me, shivered me timbers. I mean, it's amazing. So anyway, I will bless the Lord. I'm about done. I'm going to quit here for a second. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Now, here's what I want you. I was given something specific. So we're going to take time here for Sean. I was given something specific this morning for some ones, and I thought it was very amazing the way God led Pastor Sean at the beginning of this service. And he said to me, the verse he said, I sought, verse 4, Psalm 34 again. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. There's somebody here this morning that is battling fear bad. Might be some ones. But he's a deliverer. Praise and worship will cause deliverance to come. He also tells us in verse 9, there is no want or no lack for those who fear him. He wants to amplify and change your fear. Life is putting fears in you for whatever reason. There is a godly fear, and that's to fear him. And because of my fear for him, I praise and worship him. And he delivers me from my fears. The other thing was that he says in verse 17 that the righteous cry, the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now, this is the thought pattern. This had nothing to do with fear on that one there for me. I'm not saying it doesn't mean that. I'm just saying this is how he, the word, that word for me was this. This is Christmas time. And some of the troubles that we as families can have is Christmas. Most joyous time of the year becomes a burden. Because I've got to buy gifts. I don't have money. I'm very limited where I'm at. The Spirit of God ministered to me, and I'll just let you know, heads up, he's not ministering this to me today. Okay, just so I want you to know what I'm... But he ministered to me during worship last week that there was somebody in our church that were... And I thought I knew who it was. Turned out I was right, but I didn't know if that would be the only person. But that they were, because I felt it was going to be young couples that had kids, because I used to be young and had kids, that I would struggle trying to figure out how we was going to have a Christmas for the kids. And so he laid that on my heart, and I said, if there's somebody sitting out there and you're in trouble, you need to talk to me as soon as the service is over. Because I got something for you. One person did, 3 little children. Husband just finishing up college. And she came to me in tears. She didn't want none of her family to know. She took me off privately. Because her family's in our church. And I gave her $250 for Christmas. I said, this is to buy for you to get some Christmas gifts for your kids. Well, come to find out, she'd already had that. I said, then this is to pay bills. I did not know she was had two credit cards maxed out. So I said, this is not going to pay your credit card, but I'm telling you what, God laid this on my heart because of our days. Now, we're not in that day today, but we were in that day. So if you're here and that you're in that day, God's here to deliver you from troubles. Because that's troubling, especially when you've got kids that you want to help and want to bless. Or you have family members. And it's a struggle. I'm going to say this because I did tell our church this. If you in this church know someone that might not be in the same spot you are, and you might know that they could, do you know a $25, a $50 bill, a $100 bill could be the very thing that would turn something around for them, that they can waste? They don't have to just at all have to go strictly to a, so just be sensitive during this season for people like that.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.